I'm Ashley Legasic.
And I'm Catherine DeClercq.
And we make up CTV's newest podcast, Life Unmasked.
We'll bring you everything you need to know about exactly how we're going to return to normal life post-pandemic.
New episodes come out every Thursday morning on iHeartRadio, and they're available on all streaming platforms later in the day.
We hope you'll tune in.
The airport adjustment. If you have plans to head to Pearson anytime soon, take note. Navigating what's new and what you need to know even before you can take off. Could the testing tweaks lead to travel turmoil?
And what about those touching down? Depending on where you're coming from, there could be some quarantine confusion. Why the path home for some Canadians has been anything but smooth sailing. Good evening. The measures are meant to slow the international spread of COVID-19 and the Omicron variant.
But are airports and other facilities ready for the stricter protocols? We're getting our first sense of the answer. We begin our coverage with CTV's Austin Delaney live tonight at Pearson Airport. Austin.
Well, both Americans and Canadians, in fact, anyone flying into the United States today, has to deal with new testing rules imposed by Washington. Not everybody's happy about it.
Flying home to Chicago through Pearson, this American not impressed with new COVID restrictions imposed by his government.
Definitely not a fan, to be honest with you. I had to do so much to get here, but I mean, it is what it is at this point.
Beginning today, you will need to get a COVID-19 viral test, regardless of vaccination status or citizenship, no more than one day before you travel by air into the United States.
Yeah, we got it last night, and it was pretty fast as well. We just got in there, and 15 minutes later, we got the test results, and that's it.
It was okay for us, but if you were a little bit older, it might have been more difficult, you know?
There are other changes for international arrivals. All air travelers entering Canada from any country other than the U.S. must take a COVID-19 test at the airport they land in, regardless of their vaccination status.
This is going to be really, really chaotic as we get closer to the holiday season. I can't even imagine how long people could be waiting on planes, could be waiting in assembly halls at airports before they actually get out.
The Greater Toronto Airports Authority says in a statement, not all passengers are being tested yet because the government needs more time to put the infrastructure in place.
We have indicated that 100% of testing cannot be done at the airport. It's not feasible. So take-home tests will need to be part of the mix.
For now, the government has increased random testing at Pearson.
It was very easy and simple.
Now they have asked us to go on with our whatever accommodation we have, but reduce the interaction with the world, outside world, till the reports come in.
But no mandatory self-isolation. And Pearson's saying tonight it's really up to the federal government to put the testing infrastructure in place here at the airport. The two are working together, but no saying when that'll happen. Reporting live, I'm Austin Delaney.
Thank you, Austin. And a reminder, our online team has a full rundown of the new rules. You can find it at ctvnewstoronto.ca.
Meantime, provincial health officials are keeping a close watch on the spread of the virus.
And what that could mean for Ontario's next steps in this pandemic. Public Health Ontario is reporting 887 new cases in its most recent update. There are currently 168 people with COVID-19 in intensive care units. Nearly 26,000 tests have been processed in the last 24 hours. And the province's positivity rate is sitting at 3.5%.
CTV's Queen's Park Bureau Chief Colin DeMello joins us live with more. Colin.
Well, as the province, Michelle, faces now both the Delta and the Omicron variants, the Ford government is signaling a bit of a shift in strategy. The health minister suggesting today vaccine certificates could be around for months to come. Between the current surge of Delta and the emerging threat of Omicron, the Ford government is facing new pressure to vary the plans to fight the variants.
Who knows what the new variant is going to bring, Speaker. So my question is, will the Premier continue the mandatory vaccine certificate program after January 17th?
The Ford government had been planning to lift the proof of vaccination requirements province-wide in just 6 weeks. However, Ontario's health minister suggested for the first time, vaccine passports could last a little while longer.
It was always subject to the caveat that if there is a situation such as a variant that we don't know about, we don't know what's going to happen with it, we'll have to reevaluate. We anticipate we will need it for at least another several months if everything is all right.
Response?
Maybe for longer than that once we know more about the Omicron variant.
Ontario once again finds itself facing a worrisome winter thanks to the Delta-driven rise of COVID-19 cases. In Windsor, Essex, health officials say 4,000 people, or roughly 1% of the region's entire population, is now in COVID isolation.
The number of ICU admissions has increased. The hospitals have clearly stated that they're worried about the burden, the demand on the health system and their ability to manage that increased demand.
To stop the spread, indoor gatherings in that region will be limited to 10 people, and capacity limits are back in place for bars. With several regions looking backwards, the Ford government is being asked not to move forward, to give businesses the certainty about vaccine certificates well ahead of schedule. And tomorrow we could get a picture of what Ontario is anticipating over the next few weeks. The Ontario Science Advisory Table set to put out new modeling in the morning. The Chief Medical Officer of Health will respond in the afternoon. Reporting live, I'm Colin DeMello. Back to you.
Thank you, Colin. 560 more cases are considered resolved, raising that total to nearly 606,000 over the course of the pandemic. Three additional deaths are linked to the virus, meaning 10,027 lives have been lost to COVID-19 in Ontario.
Tonight's regional breakdown includes 139 new cases in the city of Toronto, with 60 in both Peel and York regions. There are 37 new cases in Durham, with 30 in Halton. Hamilton has 28 new cases, with 23 in Niagara region.
Across the province, 84.8% of eligible people aged 5 and older have now received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine, and 80.6% are considered fully vaccinated. That represents more than 11.3 million people in Ontario.
A GTA company has been tapped to manufacture a new COVID-19 drug for global use.
Vaccines remain our primary and first line of defense, but we need new tools in the toolbox, and antivirals provide just that.
Merck is spending $17 million to make its experimental pill at Thermo Fisher Scientific in Whitby. It's one of three sites in the world that will produce the drug. The Canadian government has already secured 500,000 courses. It has an option for up to 500,000 more if the drug is approved by Health Canada. Clinical trials suggest the pill can reduce the risk of hospitalization or death by 50% in patients with moderate COVID-19.
Still to come, a heartbreaking end for the Argos season, but it's what happened after the game that's now being looked into by Toronto police. The altercation under investigation and what the team is saying tonight. It's been a bit of a roller coaster today, weather-wise, warmth and rain, then wind and a cool down. Michelle Jobin is here with what's happening at this hour.
Well, a lot of weather happening this hour, Michelle, and depending on where you are, we have wind warnings in effect, we have snow squall warnings in effect, and things have shifted so dramatically from earlier this morning when we reached a high of 11 degrees with some rain in the city of Toronto. Right now, what I'm looking at on my radar is mostly snowfall. The rain has pushed off to the east, but temperatures are cooling as we head from east to west, so that will change too in the next little while. So here's a look at what we have in terms of warnings, watches, and special weather statement. In the purple, we have wind warnings, where winds are gusting over 90 kilometers an hour in the Toronto area. There's the potential for 70 to 80 kilometers an hour. We think we've already reached about 75 in some cases. And then snow squall warnings here in the orange north of the city. Temperatures have cooled. We're now sitting at, I believe, 1 degree in the city of Toronto, so much cooler than we were earlier in the day, and it's going to continue to be cooler as we head through the overnight. I'll tell you more coming up. Back to you, Zoraida.
Thank you, Michelle. A large part of Peel region is without garbage collection. The result of a labor dispute. A group of contractors walking the picket line outside Mterra Environmental in Mississauga. The company provides waste collection to several areas in Peel, including Western Mississauga, Brampton, and parts of Caledon. The region is advising affected residents to keep putting garbage and organics at the curb on collection day. They say bulky items and recycling will not be picked up, and residents are asked to hold it until further notice.
Also in Peel, police tape surrounding a busy plaza parking lot in Brampton, the scene of some extreme violence over the weekend.
A man and a woman shot while sitting inside a car, and the person or people who pulled the trigger are still out there. CTV's John Musselman is live near Central Park Drive in Torbram Road tonight. John.
Hi, Zarada. Yes, that car was parked just behind me here when this happened. It appears that the victims here may have been targeted by a shooter or shooters who approached the car. Forensic officers combed this Brampton parking lot today for any evidence in connection with the shooting. It happened at this plaza near Central Park Drive near Torbram Road. A yellow police tarp covered the car. A man and a woman were shot just before 5 p.m. on Sunday while sitting inside the vehicle. The man is in life-threatening condition. Investigators say the woman is in serious but stable condition. Neighbors tell CTV News they heard at least 5 shots ring out.
It's a very quiet neighborhood, no doubt about it, and just like we're in a shock that anything can happen like this here.
This viewer video was taken just minutes after the shots were fired. You can see multiple police cars converge on the parking lot. The plaza was open at the time.
Right there with them.
This man says he came to one of the stores just minutes before it happened. His car remains inside the crime scene. He's waiting to get it back.
We saw cops trying to attend to the victims inside the car, and there were a few people around. The police cleared the area, and we waited for about 10, 15 minutes and realized that this was going to be a long investigation.
The original police sealed off the plaza for most of the day. All of the businesses were closed during the investigation. There's little in the way of suspect information. Investigators say a light-colored vehicle was seen fleeing the area. Now, the plaza has since reopened. Police are asking anyone with information who may have witnessed what happened here to call them or Crime Stoppers. Reporting live in Brampton, I'm John Musselman. I'll send it back inside to you.
Thank you, John. Toronto police are investigating an incident involving Toronto Argonaut players and a Hamilton Tiger Cat fan following the East Division final.
The altercation itself, I don't know the details on, so I'm not qualified to be able to give you a real qualified answer to that question. But I know any time that there is a negative experience between our players and our fans, it's extremely disappointing.
It happened after yesterday's game at BMO Field. A video posted on social media purports to show two Toronto players in a physical altercation with a Ticats supporter. The Argos say they'll issue a statement once the investigation is complete. Toronto lost the game 27-19.
Straight ahead, boycotting Beijing, the diplomatic dispute over China's human rights record, who the United States won't be sending to the Olympics, and why there are calls for Canada to follow suit.
It was an act of hatred still felt after all these years. The 1989 massacre at Montreal's École Polytechnique. The victims targeted because they were women.
And more than three decades later, the threat of violence remains a reality for so many based on solely their gender or how they identify. CTV's Beth McDonnell is live on the campus of U of T tonight with more. Beth.
Zoraida, the pandemic is still very much affecting how people are remembering and commemorating this day focused on violence against women. Here there is an installation. People are invited to walk by, reflect, but pre-COVID there would have been a vigil here, people standing together holding candles. That has now been moved online.
Nathalie Croteau,
Marcy Leclerc,
Michelle Richard.
Reading the 14 names aloud, together, in person once again. Last year, the pandemic pushed the tradition of commemorating the Montreal massacre at Women's College Hospital solely online.
Being in person makes all the difference, really. It's so much more meaningful. You can feel the energy, you can feel the empathy in the room, you can feel the sadness in the room that you just don't get in a virtual experience.
I have no voice, I feel no.
This year, the hospital held a hybrid ceremony with pre-recorded speeches and special moments to reflect. Roses placed in a vase, one for each woman killed on December 6, 1989. The others for missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls, Black women and girls, trans, non-binary, and sexual diverse community, and all victims of violence. Dr. Yvette Miller-Montrope took part for the first time.
I was just feeling a little bit of sadness, but also gratefulness that, you know, we are getting a voice. You know, violence against women continues.
Along Philosopher's Walk, staked into the ground, the names and faces of the 14 women murdered at École Polytechnique. Vigils have been held here since 1990, but with up to 400 in attendance some years, the gathering was moved online a second year in a row, For Tamara Bernstein, online doesn't replace in-person.
I felt the need to come. I have placed 15 flowers, 15 roses, not 14, not just because they came in packs of five, but because one each for the Polytechnique women and one for a luminous young woman named Naomi Harder, whom I taught piano to many, many years ago.
Also remembered, the at least 58 women and girls killed because of their gender in Ontario this year alone. Some call it the shadow pandemic, as deaths hovered around 30 to 40 pre-COVID.
Which is horrific because it's a lot more than usual. I mean, I'm a woman, and I honestly don't think that until every woman is safe, we can stop doing this type of work.
All the more reason, advocates say, to keep gender-based violence front and center.
The online vigil is happening now. There is a healing ceremony, music, and speeches. Reporting live from U of T, I'm Beth McDonnell. Zoraida, back to you.
Thank you, Beth. The National Center for Truth and Reconciliation calls it a significant moment. Ottawa says it will release thousands of residential school records within 30 days. The federal government was criticized by the center in October for withholding the documents. They detail the histories of each school, including the number of children forced to attend and reports of abuse.
Canada's ambassador to China stepped down today, insisting his mission has been completed. Dominic Barton says today Michael Kovrig and Michael Spavor are back in Canada, and the government is better positioned to achieve its other diplomatic priorities with China. Barton will officially leave at the end of the month, following 2 years on the job.
Meanwhile, the upcoming Olympic Games in China continue to be overshadowed by controversy. The United States confirming tonight a diplomatic boycott in Beijing.
Pressure now mounting on the Canadian government to make a similar move in a show of defiance over China's human rights record. CTV's Rahim Ladani is following the latest developments. He joins us now with more. Rahim.
Well, Michelle and Zoraida, the last time Canada boycotted the Olympics was Moscow 1980, when 66 countries refused to compete because of the invasion of Afghanistan by the then Soviet Union. Now, Canada is once again facing pressure to boycott, but it may come with consequences.
In a firm stance against China, the United States has announced a diplomatic boycott of the upcoming Beijing Winter Olympics.
U.S. diplomatic or official representation would treat these games as business as usual in the face of the PRC's egregious human rights abuses and atrocities in Xinjiang, and we simply can't do that.
The move still gives way for athletes to compete, but is meant to put pressure on China to reform after coming under fire over its persecution of the Uyghur Muslims, cracking down on pro-democracy protests, and the detention of Canada's two Michaels, who have since been released. Now that the Americans have made their decision, the federal conservatives believe Canada should follow suit.
The diplomatic boycott, I think that's the best thing we can do alongside our allies to show pressure, but not to make the athletes pay the price for the conduct in Beijing.
While Canada's parliament declared Beijing's actions a genocide back in February, the Minister of Sport says options are still being weighed.
So far, a decision hasn't been made. We are, of course, very preoccupied with the violations of human rights in China. It's not a decision that we're going to take lightly.
China's foreign ministry, though, is already threatening to retaliate. If the U.S. side is bent on going its own way, China will take firm countermeasures. Whether they come or not, no one would care, nor would it have any impact on the Beijing Winter Olympic Games.
This showing of strength is not real strength. It's their weakness, it's their insecurity crying out.
However, many are watching to see if worldwide pressure pays off.
Now, the CEO of the Canadian Olympic Committee said today the federal government hasn't asked for its advice on the matter, that it would, though, support a diplomatic boycott if that meant the more than 200 Canadian athletes could still compete in the Winter Games. Reporting live, I'm Rahim Ladani. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Rahim. A former honorary citizen of Canada has been sentenced to 2 years behind bars in her native Myanmar.
But the trial of deposed civilian leader Aung San Suu Kyi is being met with suspicion and condemnation. CTV's Richard Madden has the details.
Hours after Myanmar state broadcaster announced the conviction of its ousted leader, protesters hit the streets. Supporters of Aung San Suu Kyi say charges of incitement and breaking COVID restrictions are a sham, cooked up by its new military-run government that overthrew her in a coup just 10 months ago.
It's all fabricated lies that they brought and charges against our South China State Councilor and our president. So it has nothing to do with the rule of law.
She was sentenced to 2 years in prison, but faces almost a dozen more charges that could total 100 years behind bars.
The Burmese military regime's unjust conviction of Aung San Suu Kyi and the repression of other democratically elected officials are yet further affronts to democracy and justice.
Following a sham trial before a military-controlled court without due regard for international fair trial standards, the conviction of Aung San Suu Kyi will only deepen the rejection of the military's rule.
The conviction cements a stunning reversal of fortunes for the once celebrated champion of human rights. Aung San Suu Kyi won a Nobel Peace Prize while under house arrest for promoting democracy.
Great privilege to meet you.
She was also given honorary Canadian citizenship in 2007. But it was revoked more than a decade later after the UN found her government was committing genocide against Rohingya Muslims. For now, she is being held by the military at an unknown location. Her health and safety, unclear. Richard Madden, CTV News, Washington.
More kidnapped missionaries have been released in Haiti, but it's unclear if any of them is the lone Canadian who was taken. The Christian and Ministries says we are thankful to God that three more hostages were released last night. Those who were released are safe and seem to be in good spirits. As with the previous release, we are not able to provide the names of the people released, the circumstances of the release, or any other details. 12 more remain captive after being abducted by a gang in October.
Our Toy Mountain campaign is on the road again tonight.
CTV's Andrea Case is at the Salvation Army Distribution Center in Etobicoke. Andrea, we sure appreciate the support from everyone making a donation this year.
Good evening, Michelle and Zarada. Yes, we are outside, but we're outside for a reason, and it is blustery out here. We are here with the folks from Energy. Yeah, I just drew a blank there. My love, this is Chana Pereira, and this is Emmanuel Ephraimides. It is so cold outside, I can't even think. So, Chana, you are here. Your company provides heating and cooling. Right now, a lot of people are thinking about heating. Tell us why you decided to donate to Toy Mountain, help us build a mountain of toys.
I'll let Emmanuel to talk about that.
Good evening. One of the core values at Complete Group of Companies is to always give back to the community. So this year we partnered with several of our clients, and I'd like to give a big shout out to Rhapsody Property Management, Crossbridge Condominium Services, Duca Property Management, for allowing us to put the donation boxes within their buildings. And I'm proud to say we're in about 22 buildings throughout the Greater Toronto Area collecting toys for the kids.
Now, Complete Energy Solutions provides heating and cooling for a lot of large properties, not so much the individual home. People at this time of year are really looking for a little bit of warmth, a little bit of joy. The toys, the money you're donating today, why did you decide to donate to Toy Mountain?
So this is one of the causes that's near and dear to our hearts. And we found Toy Mountain to be a great cause. We're proud to announce that we have a check in the amount of $10,000 being donated today, and we're going to be dropping off all the boxes of gifts that we collect over the next couple of weeks. And it's something that's always been very dear to our hearts, and we're just proud of our employees and very proud of our clients for supporting us for this great, worthy cause.
Okay, so Chana, you went to school in England, you worked in Saudi Arabia, but you lived in Canada for most of your life. What's your best Christmas memory?
What's my what?
Your best Christmas memory.
Oh, boy. Driving down to Montreal and just without any calls. Just went down there and then I looked out. So that's what, with my friends, basically.
Okay, well, you have a lot of friends here today. Let's see that check presentation. Let's bring it in. Okay, so $10,000 from Complete Energy Solutions. We want to thank you very much. They've got their fleet here today, and they need help filling it up with more toys. So feel free to help them out. Coming up on CTV News, we're going to continue to build a toy mountain. I'm Andrea Case. I'll send it back inside.
Thank you, Andrea. What generosity. Thanks to everybody there. out in that cold. We appreciate it. Well, still ahead, Bianca Andreescu reveals she's not going to the Australian Open, why she's opted to sit out as she opens up about her mental health. Michelle.
Well, as you've just seen, things have definitely taken a turn for the more wintry. And let's look ahead at what we can expect over the next little while in terms of our winter conditions. We've taken a bit of a breakdown of what we normally see December, January, and February. What we're looking at overall, especially for southern Ontario, extending into the Nickel Belt and northwestern Ontario, is temperatures that are going to trend a little bit above seasonal. That might be good news on average as we get through the next few coldest months of the year. But if you're looking to maybe get out of winter altogether, we're not quite going to be there, because what we are looking at is being above seasonal or above normal in terms of our precipitation through December, January, and February. So something to keep in mind. We might be a little warmer, but we're still going to see a considerable amount of snowfall and perhaps some rain as well. So that's a breakdown of what we can look ahead to over the next few months. I'm going to have your forecast coming up for the next 7 days. Stay with us. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
They are back in Canada, but still not back home. Instead, forced to quarantine in a hotel.
Ordered to wait for COVID-19 test results because of where they are returning from. CTV's Sean Lethong is live with more. Sean.
Well, Zoraida, Michelle, those people who traveled from those 10 countries who are now banned from coming to Canada, many are inside this hotel tonight and others around the area waiting for results of a PCR test. Some already have those results, but can't go home.
Coming home to a quarantine hotel. Travelers who thought they followed the rules now say they feel like prisoners.
I have three tests saying that I don't have COVID. Like, it's negative. I'm fully vaccinated. I just want to go home.
Jessica Sirwa flew to Cairo on November 26th. A few days later, Egypt became one of 10 countries banned from flying to Canada, part of enhanced restrictions due to the Omicron variant.
When I left the country, there were no restrictions. So I was, you know, everything was fine.
To get home, Sirwa had to get a negative PCR test in Cairo before leaving, then another in London, England, in order to board a connecting flight, another test on arrival in Toronto, and then board a bus to a quarantine hotel while waiting for a result.
I'm doing all the things that the government told me to do, and yet I'm being penalized for it right now.
The 31-year-old says food is dropped off three times a day, but there's no communication. It's difficult to get a hold of any staff, even after getting her negative test result this morning.
When I walked in, like, everything was like, you know, everything was covered in plastic. It was like, it was scary, and there's security, and it was just like, so I'm like, yeah, I'm a little bit afraid to just leave.
Once a negative test result is received, anyone staying in a hotel is supposed to call a specific phone number to get a discharge. But many people say those calls are going unanswered.
Over the weekend, some staying in hotels say there had been no contact even 24 hours after getting a negative test result.
No one's returned my calls. The first couple of calls, they took messages and said somebody would call me back. And the last number of calls have just gone unanswered.
While others decided that they were going to just leave.
I waited 18 hours, calling plenty of times with failure to talk to anyone. And at the end said, okay, it's 18 hours now. I need to leave.
In Ottawa, Minister of Public Safety Marco Mendicino said that the measures were put in place to protect Canadians while we learn about Omicron.
This will require more time, and that people should be factoring that into their travel plans, but it's a necessary and fair trade-off to me.
But for a Canadian who left under one set of circumstances and came home to a different set,
it's been just awful.
With no idea when things will change.
So Jessica Sirwa got her negative PCR test results at 11 o'clock this morning. I checked in with her at 5:15 this evening. She was allowed to leave this hotel. Reporting live, I'm Sean Lethong. Zoraida, Michelle, send it back to you.
Thank you, Sean. And you can see the snow there falling. The wind is a big story tonight, I think, for these folks. Look at the camera shaking down at Nathan Phillips Square. They probably don't even really have to skate. You just let the wind push you.
I know. It really is carry the wind that's biting, right? It's the temperature itself is not so bad. But when that wind hits you, ouch.
Well, yes. I mean, Zoraida, the temperature is not too bad right now in the city of Toronto, but it has dropped considerably from where we were. And I'm just looking at this really cold Arctic air mass in behind it. But the winds are gusting very, very high at this point, and that's adding to the feel. We'll talk about that. Weather is brought to you by Train, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a train. So, yes, winds are a big concern. Let's just take a quick look at the temperatures. We're sitting at 1 degree right now. That is a full 10 degrees cooler than we were were at 9 o'clock this morning. We were reached a high at Pearson Airport of 11 degrees today, and it's just been downhill in terms of temperature since then. And the winds really picked up as we got into the afternoon. So there are multiple warnings and watches that are in place, special weather statements. There's a lot going on here. In the orange, most important to tell you about is that we have snow squalls firing up off the upper Great Lakes and a lake here on Georgian Bay, and these can cause whiteout conditions and somewhere around 15 plus centimeters of snow in a very short period of time, up to 12 hours. We also have wind warnings in place for Parry Sound, for the Niagara region, and for the Kingston, Prince Edward County area, where winds are gusting up to 90 kilometers an hour, 70 to 80 kilometers an hour in the GTA in this broader special weather statement. So that's what's happening with this system. We're going down to a low of -4 tonight, feeling like -10 by the time you wake up. So the wind chill is significant, even more so throughout the region. There's already, of course, power outages in many communities. For example, in the Niagara region, where winds are gusting over 90 kilometers an hour at this point. Tomorrow's highs, just 0 degrees in the city of Toronto. And again, we reached a high of 11 degrees earlier today at Pearson. So this is a lot cooler. It's a sharp cool down, and we've gone from rain to snow. And we're seeing those snow squalls really setting up off of Lake Huron and Georgian Bay, and this causes poor visibility on the roads. The other concern, other than poor visibility, is we have gusting winds that causes power outages, and dropping temperatures with precipitation already on the roads means things are going to be really slick. Even with these flurries that we're seeing in the GTA, visibility could be an issue. So that's a concern. This cold front pushing through, that's where we saw those winds swing around out of the northwest, and they're going to continue that way into tomorrow. High pressure moving in to a certain extent, so we'll see some sunshine. That's the bright spot in our forecast. But these squalls are really what I'm quite worried about, especially down around the Orillia area, reaching into northern York and Durham region, where we could see a heavy amount of accumulation and those whiteout conditions clearing out as we get into tomorrow, shifting more with the squalls into the Muskoka region. And then we get some flurries on the way for Wednesday. We stay on the cooler side. But as you'll notice, we do go up again in terms of our temperature. So 0 tomorrow, -1 on Wednesday, 1 on Thursday with flurries. And then Friday, Saturday, we return to above seasonal temperatures and rain. Back to you, Michelle.
Thank you. And let's head back to Etobicoke and CTV's Andrea Case with our 26th annual Toy Mountain campaign.
She's on the move. Andrea, you're now inside with another guest who's joining you.
Yes, I'm back inside. I've thawed and now my brain is working. I'm here with the York Lions Club. York Lions Club was established in 1917, so it's over 100 years old, and they have been working very hard. Mike is going to speak on behalf of York Lions Club. Mike, how did you raise $2,500 for Toy Mountain?
We work bingos and things of that nature and get involved in things in the community, and that's what we do. We even help the Salvation Army out. We just gave them a check for some money for their food bank. And we're very, very proud to be here tonight to present this check for Toy Mountain for $2,500. And I want to put a charge charge out there to all the other Lions clubs in the province of Ontario. Dig into your coffers, come up with some money, beat us, whatever you want to do, but get some money here for the Mountain of Toys.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So you all know now how hard it can be to do television. So round of applause. Thank you very much. I'm on the move. Okay. So Ted Hogan from the Toronto area Ford dealers is here. We've been very fortunate to have someone from Ford here every week. And Ted, you are here today. And why are you here today, sir?
I'd like to present a check to the Toy Mountain Association, to the Salvation Army, for $20,000.
$20,000 is a lot of money, but Ted also has a challenge to throw out to people. You're still collecting toys in stores, correct?
Yes, we are. If you can come to our dealership and bring a new unwrapped toy, we collect them at all the Toronto Ford area dealers.
And how many of them are there?
There's 23 dealerships.
And can you name them all? I'm just kidding.
Yes, I can.
You probably can. What's it like to be a part of something like this, to donate money and toys to Toy Mountain? Because it's very difficult this year. A lot of people are struggling, and a lot of kids need to have a Christmas.
Well, we're very proud to be part of this association. We've done it for 12 years, and it's the best thing that we're part of. We're very proud of it.
Okay, well, we're very proud of you and York Lions Club. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to send it back to Michelle and Zoraida in just a moment. Just remember, in lots of ways you can donate. You can text 30333, TOYS to 30333 to donate $25 to Toy Mountain. You can also go to Toy Mountain
toys.ca, and you are able to find out more information as to where you can drop off your toys. But remember, a brand new unwrapped toy. The need is great, folks. Michelle and Zoraida, send it back inside. Thanks, everybody. A round of applause.
Thank you all. What generosity. Thank you so much. And we are just so grateful to everyone who donates to Toy Mountain. And we love seeing your photos and videos. This is Lawrence, who's holding his second annual Toy Mountain Drive this year. He has quite the collection with more than 100 toys, and more are coming in. Thank you so much, Lawrence.
Meet Olivia and her friends Flynn and Logan, who belong to the East York Gymnastics Club. They have December birthdays and asked for donations instead of presents so they could buy toys for Toy Mountain. So the manager at Toys R Us was so impressed that she donated a box of toys for the girls to donate. So thank you so much to Toys R Us, and thank you, girls, and happy birthday.
Yes, and a giant thank you to the Brampton Street Rods for their $250 donation, and thank you to the Scarborough Titans Vega volleyball team for their donations to Toy Mountain. Amazing.
And members of the school council at Bakersfield Public School in Thornhill, they took time out of their weekend to hold this successful toy drive for Toy Mountain. So for that, of course, we are very grateful.
We also love getting your videos.
It is holiday season. We want to share our love and care for the support to the children of the local community and bring smiles and hope to their families. Thank you, CTV and Salvation Army, for organizing this event. Today, we brought over 100 toys to build a toy house.
What a crowd, what a haul. Thank you to Kyoko and Sonia Leung and the group from Markham for their generous donation.
And we'd love to see your pictures and videos of how you're helping with this year's campaign. You can send them to toy.mountain@bellmedia.ca. Mississauga's Bianca Andreescu today announced she will not play in next month's Australian Open.
The tennis star needs more time to recover mentally and physically after spending a number of days in COVID-19 quarantine. Andreescu says, a lot of days I did not feel like myself, especially while I was training and or playing matches. I felt like I was carrying the world on my shoulders. I could not detach myself from everything that was going on off the court, was feeling the collective sadness and turmoil around, and it took its toll on me. The 21-year-old says she was also deeply affected by her grandmother's bout with COVID-19 that landed her in intensive care.
In Chicago, Jesse Smollett took the stand today for the first time at his trial. The former Empire actor denied staging an anti-gay racist attack on himself in January of 2019. He also denied paying two brothers to help him orchestrate what they say was a hoax for publicity. Defense attorneys suggest the pair saw an opportunity to make money. Smollett has been charged with lying to police about the incident.
Drake won't be winning any awards at next year's Grammys. The Toronto rapper has taken himself out of contention. I'm feeling too sexy to accept requests. Drake was up for Best Rap Album and Best Rap Performance, but he has asked that his nominations be pulled, and the Recording Academy says it is honoring that request. His reason is unclear, but Drake has had a contentious relationship with the Grammys at times.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Last Man's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
After the break, ransomware attacks on the rise. Why the feds are urging Canadians to beef up their cybersecurity practices.
Definitely not a fan, to be honest with you. I had to do so much to get here, but I mean, it is what it is.
Updating our top stories, air travelers heading into the U.S. will now need to provide a negative COVID-19 test regardless of their vaccination status, no more than a day before they're set to cross the border.
I'm fully vaccinated, I followed all the regulations, I did the test, and I'm still stuck here.
Travelers stuck in quarantine hotels say they are feeling like prisoners. Some who have received negative test results after arriving in Canada say there has been no communication from hotel staff on whether they are able to leave.
We anticipate we will need it for at least another several months if everything is all right.
Spons.
Maybe for longer than that once we know more about the Omicron variant.
The province says vaccine passports are likely to remain in place as Ontario deals with the Omicron variant. The Ford government had previously planned to lift the measure in some locations as early as January 17th.
Remember to follow us on social media. Keep up to date day and night through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. And if you ever have a news tip, photos, or video of breaking news, let us know.
In business, investors are taking comfort in reassuring headlines about the Omicron variant. Greg Bunnell from BNN Bloomberg has the details.
North American markets rallied to start the trading week on hopes the Omicron variant won't derail the economic recovery. While the longer-term impact of the variant is unclear, hospitals in South Africa have not been overwhelmed despite a jump in COVID cases. Investors appear to latch on to that headline today. Shares of airlines, cruise lines, and travel booking sites were sharply higher. And the oil market got a boost after Saudi Arabia raised the price of its crude. Investors took that as a vote of confidence in global oil demand despite the threat of the Omicron variant. One of the country's top bankers isn't ready to sound the all clear on the pandemic. TD Bank CEO Bharat Masrani says the reopening has been positive for business, but Masrani tells BNN Bloomberg it's premature to declare victory over COVID, adding the economy could still be in for a bumpy ride. Canada's biggest banks, including TD, rewarded shareholders last week with dividend hikes and share buyback announcements. That after the banking regulator lifted pandemic-era restrictions. A new survey suggests more than half of the current Bitcoin investors got in over the last 12 months. The research by crypto trading firm Grayscale Investments comes amid a volatile period of new highs and dramatic corrections for the cryptocurrency. The survey of 1,000 investors found 55% started buying Bitcoin over the last year. Now, the digital coin has plunged more than 25% from its most recent record high set in early November. The Canadian dollar was up 52 basis points to 78.36 U.S. American benchmark oil gained $3.23 a barrel to close at $69.49. Alberta's heavy crude, Western Canadian Select, was up more than $4 to settle at $51.72 U.S. And the TSX Composite Index gained 228 points, closing at 20,861, with financials and energy stocks leading the way higher. That's the latest from BNN Bloomberg. I'm Greg Bunnell.
Ottawa is warning Canadian businesses to beef up their cybersecurity. Canada is one of the countries most affected by ransomware, and there has been a dramatic increase in incidents here. There were at least 235 attacks from January 1st to November 16th of this year. More than half were against critical infrastructure providers. And as we reported earlier, this marks the National Day of Remembrance and Action to End Violence Against Women.
And that's the focus of a discussion on CP24 tonight. We're now joined by Reshmi Nair and Chanel Call. So, Reshmi, what coverage do you have coming up for tonight?
Zoraida, we have a panel of stakeholders who are going to discuss gender violence in this country, specifically in Ontario. A woman is killed every 2.5 days in this country. So more than 30 years later after the Montreal massacre, how far have we come and where should we be putting our investments? We're going to have that conversation on CP24 tonight.
And Chanel, U.S. President Biden's Build Back Better bill promises to be a boost for the American auto industry. But what about Canada?
Well, local industry analysts are extremely concerned about the impact this will have on Canada's auto sector. This is something that basically will incentivize Americans to buy American-made electric cars. But people we've been hearing from are saying this could devastate Canada's auto sector. We'll explore this coming up on CP24 tonight.
Thank you, Chanel. Thank you, Reshmi. And CP24 tonight airs immediately following this newscast on CP24 from 7 to 9.
Oh. How do you build a mountain of toys? You build a mountain of toys one toy at a time. Charlotte is going to make a donation right now along with her mom, and we couldn't be more happy to see them do just that. I'll let her get her moment in the sun. And you can do the same at home. You can pick up your phone and you can text TOYS to 30333, and you can donate $25. You can go to toymountain.ca, and you can there... You can see where you can donate a toy, a brand new unwrapped toy. All the locations are there. And we need your help to build a mountain of toys. The Toy Mountain campaign continues after the break, and we will tell you how many toys have been raised so far. Yay, Charlotte! Woo!
Let's head back to Etobicoke one final time for our Toy Mountain campaign.
Andrea Case, you have a new toy total for us.
There's a round of applause here because we have a special guest. The premier just arrived, bringing his own toys. But Glenn Van Gulik is here. And Glenn, What is the toy total? And then we'll say hello.
The toy total is 28,371 toys. Thank you so much.
And we have a few more now. Hey, everybody. Thanks for having us, Bill.
The toy matters.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming.
Fantastic. I come every year, and I just want to thank the Salvation Army and all the support they give the community. They're just an incredible organization, and we love the Salvation Army. We're just going to add to the toy count.
Okay, the tree is over there. Thank you very much, Premier, everyone. Just a reminder, of course, you can go to text on your phone, toys30333, and go to toymountain.ca. Everybody, one more time, thank you for helping us build
a toy mountain.
Hit it, man.
Thank you, Premier, for supporting Toy Mountain today and a great crowd there. What a toy total. Why don't you bring us up to speed, Michelle, on the weather, because there is a lot going on.
There is a lot going on, Michelle. And what I think is most important to know is that there are very gusty winds out there tonight. They are causing some power outages in some regions, so be aware of that. And we're also looking at snow squalls. There are snow squall warnings in Grey Bruce County, northern Huron and Perth County, Barrie, Simcoe, Midland, Orillia, also northern Durham and York region. So heavy amounts of snow and a short amount of time, whiteout conditions, slippery conditions on the road because temperatures are dropping everywhere. And of course, with those very gusty winds, we have bitter wind chills. Overnight tonight, we'll have a low of -4, feeling like -10. Back to you, Zoraida.
Thank you, Michelle. And be sure to join us later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
You can also stay up to date by going to our website. And a reminder, CP24 tonight begins momentarily on CP24.
For both our Michelles and all of us here at CTV News, have a good night. We'll see you at 11:30.
Night.
We'll be right back.